Welcome inside the Quicken Loans studios on this Friday night at Yahoo Sports Radio. We have got a ton of ground to cover over the next 2 hours of our show. A very big week as we recap National Signing Day, Super Bowl 49, and we also will take time to hit on some college basketball. But it is time now to head out to the Four Corners and the Land of Enchantment and catch up with our good friend from Fox Sports New Mexico, talking about Steve Bortstein, the shining star out there. He is joining us on our Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line. And I just have to wonder, what is on the agenda for this weekend? I mean, there's not going to be any football. What in the world is Steve Bortstein going to be doing on a Friday night?
Horse racing. I'm getting ready for the Triple Crown run. You know, we're just a little more than 2.5 months away from the Kentucky Derby, and we got big prep races going on around the country. So I'm going to be doing that and scouring the television for all sorts of interesting things to watch. No, really, it's college basketball for me now. Hockey, I watch a lot more hockey now. So, yeah. You know, it's just you find new things to entertain yourself now during this during the non-football time of year.
Well, we've got a lot of other things to entertain all of our listeners across the country, a number of subjects I want to get into that hopefully you can provide some clarity, Steve Bortstein. So let's start. I want to get a fresh perspective on Super Bowl 49. Did the Patriots, truly win it, or did those Seahawks, did they give it away?
I can see both arguments, and I've heard both arguments, and I've made both arguments, but at the end of the day, it's Tom Brady. It's the New England Patriots won that game. Seattle didn't lose that game on the last play or the interception by Malcolm Butler. They lost the game, I think, late in the third quarter, early in the fourth quarter, with kind of questionable play calling. You have a 10-point lead on New England. You have a chance to, you know, basically run the ball down New England's throat. I mean, Marshawn Lynch had been averaging 5 yards a carry. And instead they decided to get cute. Instead they decided to, you know, throw some, I thought, questionable passes. I thought they had some opportunities there to really, you know, close the game out, and they didn't do that. And, you know, we've watched enough football in our lives that you can't let Tom Brady breathe. I thought it was surgical precision in that fourth quarter drive that ran about 4.5 minutes, resulting in the Edelman touchdown that gave New England the lead. You saw that. You saw that drive, and that was typical old school Tom Brady right there at his finest. And I thought the interesting angle was, you know, if you're Dan Quinn and you're the defensive coordinator of, you know, arguably the greatest defense since the 85 Bears, how do you explain that meltdown? How do you explain, you know, those guys being so wide open? Yeah, I know there were injuries. Obviously, Richard Sherman was playing at less than 100%. You had the one defender who got the interception of the first quarter. He missed the rest of the game because he tore his wrist up on that interception. But, you know, that defense got exposed, you know, in a big way, I thought, in the fourth quarter of that game on that drive. It was old school Tom Brady. I understand the argument that says that, you know, you run the ball on second down at the 1.5 yard line. I understand that argument, but I also can understand, you know, wanting to play out the clock. There were 26 seconds left, and I understand Pete Carroll and Daryl Bevel when they both said that they wanted to give New England absolutely no time left on that clock. I guess the question to me is, if you want to run down the clock, why do you throw that pass with Wilson in the shotgun formation? That play was a bang-bang play. It literally took about 2.5 seconds before Butler makes the interception there. Why not just run a read option? Let Wilson roll out. Let him find a receiver in the back part of the end zone, or just throw it into the 30th row at University of Phoenix Stadium. You would have run down far more time. You'd have run down 7 or 8 seconds. And then you still would have had third and goal at the 1.5 yard line, pound it with Marshawn Lynch, win the game. So it's a long answer to your question, but I think New England won that game.
Hey, Steve Bortstein joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. He is with Fox Sports New Mexico. And as we recap Super Bowl 49, I mean, how much should Pete Carroll be accountable for that kind of head-scratching call?
Well, I mean, he's the last line of defense. He's the face of that franchise, so it is on him. I think it's ironic that we've been in this position before with Pete Carroll. You go back to 2006, the national championship game, USC versus Texas.
Oh,
it's fourth and two. USC has the ball on the Texas 45-yard line. They can close out Texas, get the first down, run down the clock, and win. Instead, you've got Reggie Bush, your Heisman Trophy award-winning running back, on the sidelines, and slow and easily tacklable Lendale White running the ball on that play. Then you've got the fourth and five at the 5-yard line. Vince Young's been running the ball on you all night long, and instead you decide to blitz up the middle and allowing Vince Young the right corner of the end zone and wins the national championship. This is not the first time we've been here with Pete Carroll, and you know he'll do the right thing. He'll fall on the sword and say it was his fault, and at the end of the day, it kind of is. I mean, he's the guy that's got to accept the responsibility. I guess my question for the future is going to be, how much of the locker room does he lose? How much of the locker room does Darrell Bevell lose in that situation?
Well, Steve, you bring up a great point because, you know, you have to wonder what kind of hangover effect will this have on the Seahawks moving forward?
I think it has to have a hangover effect. I mean, you're Marshawn Lynch. You're the guy who's been the offense on that team. Forget Russell Wilson for a second, because we all know that Russell Wilson is a quote, special, end quote, kind of talent. He's not your prototypical 6'5" quarterback. So he's the guy that, you know, he makes the plays happen. He makes things happen in the backfield. Marshawn Lynch is your offense. And now you tell me, with 26 seconds to go, no, we're not going to give you the ball, Marshawn. No, we're going to let this crazy thing happen in the back of the end zone, whatever, but then we're going to throw this bizarre pass right into the middle of the coverage in front of everybody with the possibility of getting it picked off. I understand there was quite a bit of tension in that locker room between Pete Carroll and Marshawn Lynch. Apparently they didn't speak to each other after the game was over. Lynch stormed out of the locker room. I would imagine there's going to be some dissent in that locker room, and you know, it's either going to be on Bevell or it's going to be on Pete Carroll. But I mean, even if you're offensive coordinator Pete Carroll, I mean, if you're offensive coordinator Darrell Bevell, excuse me, how do you look Marshawn Lynch in the face and say, yeah, sorry, bad call? How do you do that? That's I think there's going to be some carryover to this.
You talk about Marshawn, but let's love on Malcolm Butler. I mean, that game-changing interception, what a beautiful example of just continuing to work hard and just having that unwavering belief and staying ready. I mean, he was an undrafted free agent from a division school in West Alabama.
Yeah, I mean, and there were two great stories in that game, and Malcolm Butler is truly the best one of them all. You know, and you know, you look at the game that Chris Matthews had, the wide receiver for Seattle. No one had even heard of this guy. He was working at a Foot Locker a few months ago. There were some great stories in this game.
Malcolm Butler was working at Popeye's like 4 years ago.
Right. So, I mean, there's some great stories in the game. Malcolm Butler, you know, he has that great play there. So, you know, great credit to him to being there. And they had talked about how they'd worked on that play. They had worked on that defense, you know, in leading up to the Super Bowl. And I think not enough credit it has been given. And obviously, you go back to the last couple of weeks, you had the Deflategate story, you had all the speculation and all the chicanery with that story. Bill Belichick, I mean, how great a coaching job is that? I mean, it's a masterful coaching job. He doesn't get enough credit because everyone looks at him like the, you know, the dark Sith underlord of the dark side of the galaxy or whatever. But he's a genius. And you know, they drew up a great game plan. Offensively, they picked apart one of the best defenses in the last quarter century in the National Football League. And you know, that's a credit to Tom Brady, a seventh-round draft pick. You know, that's a credit to Bill Belichick, who's done this with a patchwork offense, you know, and a patchwork defense that, you know, we don't give enough credit to. These are not your, you know, blue-chip guys. These are not your first-round guys. These are guys who come together, and it fits that Belichick profile, and I would argue this is one of his more impressive coaching jobs.
Hey, you're listening to the voice of Steve Bortstein from Fox Sports New Mexico tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We're going to step aside for our very first commercial break. We'll be rejoined, and I'm going to talk to Steve, his view of Tom Brady. Obviously, he solidified his legacy with his fourth Super Bowl win. We want to get Steve's insight on that. We will be right back with much, much more here at YSR.